We have some other Bible characters to look at this afternoon. We'll be looking at Barak and Samson and Jephthah, David, Samson, because we're not going to look at these as closely as we did Gideon this morning. Not because they're unimportant, but you know, we are under somewhat the same constraints as Paul was when he said, "What more can we say?" Time simply forbids us to just look at every character that has acted in faith. But as we look at these individuals this evening, there may be some question in our mind as to why would Paul list this particular person. And oftentimes we're looking for the spectacular, and we're saying, now, the reason that this person is listed, and we can usually find out, is because of this spectacular thing that occurred. Now let's go back and define faith. What is faith? Faith is believing God. Faith is doing what we do because we believe God. God is commanded, God is said, God is led, and we're going to follow it, and we're going to do it. That's faith. Anytime someone does that, that's faith. That is an activity prompted by faith. So some of these things may not have the unusual, the unique, the spectacular, but they are faith. Because when God says, and we believe it, and act upon it, that's faith. And I hope that this is the lesson that all of us will see this evening from these characters. And of Barak, that's another individual that Paul names. And as we read in the book of Judges, chapter 4 particularly, of this man and how he was called into service, we understand that he was the leader of an army of Israel when Deborah was the judge. And she came to him and challenged him concerning the work of God, which involved the expelling of the unbelieving nations so that Israel might live in peace. He perceived that Deborah spoke for God, and he insisted that she accompany him as he went into battle. And I think that that demonstrates something of his faith, and that is, she had come to him and said, "Have you not heard God's call?" And he acknowledged that he knew that God had him designated as a military leader. And he says, "I will go and fight, but you go with me." And in that, I see his desire to make sure that he always receives information from God. Let me put it this way. I think that Barak saw in Deborah someone to tell him explicitly and very plainly the will of God. And that was to him an act of faith, and then to do what she said as a message from God was an act of faith. And when we look at his life, I think we can see that he was a man who was using faith as the substance of his work for God, as the foundation of his work for God. Why did he do it? Because faith was the foundation. Faith was the underlying cause. It was why he did what he did. But in chapter 5, verses 1 through 31, you'll see that he and Deborah sang a song. And the song that they sang was a song that gave God all of the credit and all of the glory for everything that had been done. And this is always done by faith. Just a few words from the song that they sang in chapter 5. "Then sang Deborah and Barak, the son of Abinoam, on that day saying. And all the rest of this chapter is that song that they sang. But here's just a few words. Praise ye the Lord for the avenging of Israel. Now, to whom did they give credit for the avenging of Israel? Did Barak say, I was a brilliant military leader, and this woman was a brilliant strategist? No. When you do that, that's not a faith. That's self-aggrandizement. But when you give credit for all that's been done to God, then that's faith. Faith gives God credit. I've studied this a great deal. And we talk about the power of faith. But if you'll search your concordances, you'll find that faith is never referred to as power. There's not but one verse in the book of Acts that has in the same verse faith and power. But they're not connected in that there was power in the faith. But people had faith and the power of God acted. They're not even connected in the sense that one depended upon the other. Faith believes in the power of God. The idea that faith believes in the power of faith is an absurdity. Because faith is what we have. And so if we believe in the power of faith, we believe in the power of ourselves. You say, now, brother, listen, there's power in faith because if I can have faith, then I can do all these things. No, if you have faith, then God can do all these things. Now, you think about it. Who tore the walls of Jericho down? Look at all the things that have been done. Were they done because men did them? Or were they done because men had faith and God did it? Now you think with me. Did Daniel's power shut the mouths of the lion? Did the three Hebrew children, did they take the power out of the fire? Was it Moses' faith that divided the waters, or was it God's power? Now you think about it. He said, brother, I'll tell you, when I have faith, I can use that faith as a powerful... No, you can't. No, it's not something that you can use as a powerful instrument to move mountains, etc., etc. If you had faith as the grain of a mustard seed, it would be God who moved the mountain, not you. Because if there's power in faith and you're saved by faith, then you saved yourself. You had faith and the power of God saved you. So Barak sang of the power of God and of the Lord avenging Israel when the people willingly offered themselves. What happened? When the people submitted to God, then God's power acted. It wasn't that once they submitted themselves to God, then God gave them power, but it was the power of God that acted and did whatever was done. Then there's Samson. And you wonder about Paul picking Samson as a man of faith. Because we'd like to have a man who never did any wrong. We'd like to see God's word point out a man or a woman and say, now these are people who never did anything wrong. Because that fits our idea of serving God. That is, people who from their childhood until their death have never done anything wrong, and because of that, God can use them. And I realize there is something to the cleanliness of our lives, but also there were people like Samson who had faith in God one day, and God used them mightily, And then the next day, they did something really carnal, something really dumb. And that's not such an unusual pattern as we look at the people of God. Samson, early in his life, the Bible says, and the Spirit of the Lord began to move him at times. Samson, very unusual young man in the sense of how he was brought into the world, given to his parents by Almighty God, the vow that was upon him, that his head would never be shaved, all these things were very unusual. He was an extraordinarily brave young warrior who slew a lion and continually defeated the Philistines and outsmarting them in many things. But I don't believe that these were his acts of faith. In Judges 16, verses 28 and 30, there is the account of his death. And I think this is why Paul included him in this roll call of the faithful. In verse 28 of Judges 16, "And Samson called unto the Lord and said, O Lord God, remember, I pray thee, and strengthen me, I pray thee, only this once, O God, that I may be at once avenged of the Philistines for my two eyes. And Samson took hold of the two middle pillars upon which the house stood, and on which it was borne up, of the one with the right hand, and the other of his left. And Samson said, Let me die with the Philistines. And he bowed himself with all his might, and the house fell upon the Lord's, and upon all the people that were therein. So the dead which he slew at his death were more than they which he slew in his life." But look at his prayer. "And Samson called unto the Lord and said, O Lord God, remember me." You remember when the thief prayed that prayer on the cross? "Lord, remember me when thou comest into thy kingdom." That was a prayer of faith. He had heard the Lord speak, and he had faith in what the Lord said. And he asked him to remember him. And Jesus did remember him. And Samson asked the Lord to remember him. And the Lord did remember Samson. And the Lord did give Samson strength. God returned his strength unto him. And he was able to do in faith a mightier deed than he had ever done in all of his life concerning the slaying of the enemies of God. Of David, another man that we look at and wonder about, because his life is stained with serious sin. And I suppose if we were looking at David, we would pull his work card and tell him, "David, you can't work for me anymore. I see a very serious problem in your life." But David's name is here. And David was a man of faith. He founded Jerusalem. He believed God and slew Goliath. He was angered when he saw his brothers and all the other people of Israel standing by and allowing Goliath to blaspheme the name of Jehovah God. And David, in the strength of God, not in his own strength. We cannot say that Paul said, "I can do all things." Paul didn't say that. Paul didn't say, "I can do all things." Paul did not say that. Paul said, "I can do all things through Christ, which strengtheneth me." Now, if you say, "Brethren, the Bible tells us that we can do all things," you lie, because that's not what the Bible says. Paul said, "I can do all things through Christ." And that's how we can do things, through Christ that strengthens us. Not by power, nor by might, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. David wrote the Psalms, many of them. He was a mighty warrior. He slew the lion. And when you look at the life of David, even there were times when he was fleeing. When you look at the life of David, you understand that here's a man, even when he's fleeing, who still looks to God for information and for strength. And he is said to be a man after God's own heart. And that could not be said of him were he not a man of faith, because without faith it is impossible to please God. Enoch walked with God and God took him. How did Enoch walk with God? What was the foundation of his walk with God? It was faith. What was the foundation of David's walk with God? It was faith. But you say, but there were times when he fell in the sense of disobeying God. You're right. There were times when he didn't act upon faith. He acted upon carnal lust. And every time he did it, he made a tragic mistake. And every time we do not act by faith, but act upon our reasoning and upon our carnal desires, whether they're toward flesh or whether they're directed to our higher achievement, if we do not act by faith, then our action does not please God. We don't always do the right thing. Sometimes we follow the wrong voice. And when we do, we make a bad mistake. Sometimes we embarrass ourselves terribly. We embarrass our God. That doesn't mean that we've never had faith. It doesn't mean we'll never have faith again. Just as though you could look at Samson and David and Barak and Jephthah. I don't want to forget him, because that is a puzzle. And the reason I say it's a puzzle, because he did something that God didn't want him to do. And of Jephthah, Judges chapter 11, verses 1 through 40, gives us the story. But the Bible tells us that Jephthah was a soldier, a mercenary, and that he was the son of a harlot. How you think about that? Chapter 11, verse 1, now Jephthah the Gileadite was a mighty man of valor. It's the same thing said about Gideon. Mighty man of valor. But the very next sentence, he was the son of an harlot. That wasn't Jephthah's fault. That was his father's and harlot's fault. Jephthah bore the burden of that sin. And Gilead's wife bare him sons, and his wife's sons grew up, and they thrust out Jephthah and said unto him, Thou shalt not inherit in our father's house, for thou art the son of a strange woman. Now, under these circumstances, what would you expect a man to do? Feeling this extreme hostility toward him, because you're not our real brother. Your mother was a strange woman. Jephthah fled from his brethren and dwelt in the land of Tob. And there were gathered vain men to Jephthah and went out with him. He gathered a rather unsavory group of men around him who evidently were for hire. They were mercenary soldiers. And it was so that when the children of Ammon made war against Israel, the elders of Gilead went to fetch Jephthah out of the land of Tob. And they said unto Jephthah, "Come and be our captain, that we may fight with the children of Ammon." And Jephthah said unto the elders of Gilead, now listen, "Did not ye hate me and expel me out of my father's house? And why are you come unto me now when you are in distress?" Now look at this circumstance. Here he has been dispossessed from his loved ones, dishonored and shamed because of his birth. And he goes to another country and establishes himself as a valiant warrior, as a man of valor, and gathers vain men around him. And when his brethren feel threatened, they come to him and they ask him, "Will you come and protect us?" And Jephthah, considering the strength of the Ammonites and his brother's problems, he said, "Did not ye hate me and expel me out of my father's house? And why are you come unto me now when you are in distress?" And you wonder, did Jephthah have faith? Where can we begin to see his faith developing? Well, I think you can see it developing here when he agrees to go back with them or to become involved in this fight. And Jephthah said to them, "Therefore we turn again to thee now that thou mayest go with us and fight against the children of Ammon and be our head over all the inhabitants of Gilead." And Jephthah said unto the elders of Gilead, "If you bring me home again to fight against the children of Ammon, and the Lord," now notice, "and the Lord deliver them before me, shall I be your head?" I don't think he's really wanting to be the king of these people or the head of these people, but he asks, and he's phrasing it, "If God is in this thing and God does this thing," do you see what his faith is saying? He's not saying, "I am a man of valor, I am a man of power, I am a man of strength, and I can conquer the Ammonites, and I will fight your battle if you'll make me king." There's something more subtle than that in this man's speech. And he recognizes that he must have the power of God. "And if the Lord deliver them before me," and if the Lord deliver them before me. Anyway, God did. Jephthah made a very foolish vow. He vowed to sacrifice in his rash anticipation of returning home a victor. He promised that he would sacrifice the thing that ran out to greet him on his return home. It happened to be his only daughter. That's not an act of faith. That isn't why he's mentioned in the 11th chapter of Hebrews. That was not a faith thing he did. God had not commanded him to do it, like God commanded Abraham to offer Isaac. This was not in that category. But he acted by faith, and he acted by foolishness. You know, sometimes they can almost look the same. But there's not anything, they're not even kin to one another. And yet sometimes people don't know the difference between faith and foolishness. Because sometimes a fool will try outlandish, irrational things And people believe that this person did it by faith. When it was not by faith, it was by foolishness. The difference between faith and foolishness is faith is always predicated upon a command of God. Faith is always predicated upon divine revelation. We do it because God said it. We do it because it's taught in the Bible. That's faith. That's faith. It'll always be faith. It'll never be anything else. When we act on God's word, it'll be faith. It can't be anything else but faith. When we act in our own wisdom, we act in our own urgings, we act according to our own thinking, that's not faith. And if we really attempt things that are outrageous because that's just what we want to do, that's not faith. If you want a good example, or rather I'd say an example that's good of a bad man, I'd use the example of Oral Roberts. Oral Roberts does foolish things. He says that he saw these things and that God told him this and God told him that. And he's always contradicting himself. He heals by faith, but he establishes a hospital. He prays for others to be made instantly well, then he goes to have his eyes treated just like you would or I would. He's not a man of faith. He's a foolish person who acts according to a fool. Because what he says and does is not based in the Word of God. He's a foolish person. 800-foot Jesus, a prayer tower that's so many feet tall, costs so many hundreds of thousands of dollars, that's not faith, that's foolishness. It's designed to impress the carnal, to impress the mind of people. God didn't tell him to do that. They say, how do you know God didn't tell him to do that? Because he didn't tell me to do it. And God doesn't tell Oral Roberts to do anything. He doesn't tell me. Because we both got the same book, okay? And you're saying, boy, you're bold this morning, preacher. I should hope so. I should hope so. You know, a lot of people look at that and say, now, you know, why he said God told him if he didn't raise the money, God was going to take his life. God never told him that, and God never told him to raise the money. That's all foolishness. But to a lot of people, it looks like faith, but it isn't faith. So they have some, you know, they have things that look alike. But they're not of the same cloth. They're not of the same character. And then of whom? Well, Samuel and the prophets. That's the next ones that are mentioned. And you'll notice he just mentioned Samuel and then the prophets and includes them all because Samuel was the first one. What did Samuel do that was of faith? Well, he anointed David as king when it didn't seem to be the thing that ought to be done because people were looking for a man of towering strength and of unknown beauty and character. I mean, they were looking for this leader that they could identify. They were looking at Saul. But God had chosen David. And God told Samuel what to do, and Samuel did what God said, and that's faith. As a child, our young man, David seems to have had great faith, or rather Samuel seems to have had great faith. He He talked with the other leaders, spiritual leaders of Israel. When you look at Samuel, whatever he did for God, he did by faith. And there were many things in his life that were contrary to God's will and outrageous. They were wrong. They were based in his own desire for power. He did not chastise his children. He neglected a lot of things. And he was weak in a lot of ways. There are times when by faith, as the foundation of a decision and action, he did specifically and exactly what God said to do, when God said to do it, and in the manner that God told him to do it, and that's faith. Now, whenever you take this book and you learn something from it, and you know that that's what that Bible, that verse, or those verses teach, and you know it for sure, and you accept it by faith that God is the author of it, and then you do what that verse or those verses tell you to do, and you do it the way they tell you to do it, when you do that, then you've acted by faith. And it makes a difference how you feel. Faith is not a feeling. You know, there's things we do by faith. There are things we do because we're foolish. There are things we do because we feel it. But 99 times out of 100, whatever we do religiously, just because we feel it, will turn out badly. At least it cannot be depended upon as being reliable. When you act on faith, you may be in some ways perplexed by it, wondering how it'll work or how God will use it or why the sense of it. But you act by faith because you said, God said it, God wants me to do it, and this is what I'll do, and I'll do it with my heart, I'll do it with my strength, I'll do it with my might. And then God will do his part. That's faith. You say, well, I didn't feel like it. Well, that doesn't count. Feelings don't count. So don't wait for the feeling and think, if I can just work up this real strong emotion, that it'll turn into faith. It won't. Feeling just won't turn into faith. And foolishness never will turn into faith. They are not changing things or change that can metamorphose from the larva to the butterfly. They just don't do that. You either got little faith, much faith, great faith, faith, but you don't have foolishness that turns to faith or feelings that become faith. It's faith when it starts, or it'll never end faith.